RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news, jointly broadcast by RRI Batam. September 29th is celebrated as the World Heart Day. Until now, cardiovascular and stroke diseases are still in the first rank of the cause of the people's death around the world. Based on data from the World Health Organization or UN World Health Organization, currently it is estimated the number of deaths caused by heart and blood vessels has reached 17 million people in the world. Chairman of the Indonesian Heart Foundation, Syahlina Zuhal, in a special interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, explained, by 2030, a total of 23.6 million people of the world will die because of this disease. Based on 2013 basic health research, the prevalence of cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, heart failure, and stroke will increase in line with the prolonged age of the respondents. Syahlina further explained that the medical sector of Indonesia always upgrades itself, but according to Syahlina, public awareness towards healthy lifestyle and cardiovascular disease is the most important efforts in preventing the disease.
Saat ini di dunia kedokteran Indonesia terus membenahi diri.
Actually, medical sector in Indonesia continues to improve itself and improve the quality, especially in the field of technology and human resources. But if this is not accompanied by public awareness to prevent cardiovascular disease through early examinations, the results will not be effective. Syahlina further explained, with a healthy lifestyle and avoiding smoking, heart and blood vessel diseases can be prevented. To commemorate the World Heart Day 2017, Indonesia Heart Foundation is holding a series of activities in several cities in Indonesia, namely Palembang, Manado, and Samarinda. The series of activities include healthy heart exercise, cholesterol and free blood pressure examinations, as well as data collection and counseling. The development of information and technology makes people easy to communicate. Unfortunately, this condition not only creates a positive impact but also a negative impact in life. The crucial one is the widespread increase of hoax information circulating in the community. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Technology Rudiantara told reporters after opening the first ASEAN Public Relations Conference in Kuta, Bali, Thursday, September 21st, admitted that this condition is a challenge in almost every country in the world, including Indonesia. Minister Rudiantara said it's counteract the phenomenon, the role of mainstream media activists is needed to provide valid and factual news references to the public.
Media-media mainstream sekarang sudah mengikuti membuat semacam filtering. Jadi kalau
now the mainstream media has participated in filtering and sorting. So the news is made from the location, from the reporter, from the journalist, to the editorial room, and it has been verified. And I'm sure that the mainstream media will be a reference if compared to social media. Indeed, social media is fast, but not necessarily accurate. Minister Rudiantara asserted that government has implemented two strategies that are considered capable of eliminating the circulations of hoax information, not only limiting access and blocking the content, but also conducting literacy and socializations to the community. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita received bilateral visit of Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investments of Australia Stephen Xiaobo at Trade Ministry Office on Wednesday, 20 September. During the meeting, the two ministers discussed issues covering trade between the two countries and set a solution. In a press conference, Minister Enggar Tias said Australia agreed on a win-win agreement and saw the negotiated agreement as a package to improve economic cooperation and capacity building.
Kita membahas isu perundingan investasi, akses pasar untuk membentuk Indonesia.
We discussed the issue of investment bargaining, market access to form the Indonesia-Australia powerhouse to enter the third market and some other barriers in the negotiation process. We agree, and I have also expressed the need for a win-win agreement and see this negotiated agreement as a complete package that includes economic cooperation and capacity building. Minister Enggar Tias explained that this is very important, especially in the context of the establishment of the powerhouse, so that the products are made based on the principle of supply changes between the two countries in order to enter the third country market, including advanced countries that apply high standards. During the meeting, the two ministers also announced a plan to implement the eliminations of import duties on Indonesian herbicide and pesticide products, as well as a drop in the import duties of raw sugar from Australia. The last item. The result of a national survey on religious harmony conducted by the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs shows that the average of national religious harmony is at 75.36 in the range of 0 to 100. So, the level of religious harmony in Indonesia is the highest in ASEAN, or Indonesia is in the high harmony category. This was stated by the head of Riau Religious Affairs Ministry, Ahmad Supardi, to Radio Republik Indonesia on Friday, September 22nd. He explained, "The high harmony shows the working of the harmony dimensions, namely tolerance, equality, and significant cooperation."
Peningkatan kurikulum beragama bukan hanya di provinsi Riau.
Increasing religious harmony does not only exist in Riau province but also throughout Indonesia, because this harmony is part of the national harmony. If the religious harmony is disturbed, I assure you that the national religious harmony will be disrupted. It means that the disintegrations of the nation will surely happen. In Riau, this is very heterogeneous. First, from religion point of view, all adherents of religions are here. All house of worship also exists here. Then from the tribal point of view as well, there are almost all tribes exist in Pekanbaru. This means Riau or Pekanbaru is a kind of mini Indonesia for us in Indonesia. According to Ahmad Supardi, conflicts over the constructions of places of worship only occur in some areas, but the case does not represent Indonesia in the international world. On the other hand, head of National Unity and Political Board of Riau Province, Hairul Rizki, acknowledged that there are many foreigners in Riau Province, especially from ASEAN countries, since the era of ASEAN Economic Community. Riau provincial administrations also increases supervision and monitoring on foreigners. This is done to anticipate any abuses that violate the regulations, especially to prevent the possibility of spreading any ideologies which is contradictory with Pancasila, the state ideology, and the 1945 constitutions. Listener, that was the news jointly broadcast by RRI Batam.
Listener, a commentary today entitled UN's Award to Minister Retno Marsudi Inspired the Settlement of Women Issues. Indonesia Inc.'s international good image, thanks to the award presented by United Nations to Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, on the sidelines of the agenda of the 72nd United Nations General Assembly in New York, USA, Minister Redmond received an award from UN, or the United Nations Agency for Women's Affairs, on one of Indonesian-related agendas on the sidelines of the 72nd annual session of the United General Assembly. The award is an appreciation to Minister Retno Marsudi as an agent of change for gender equality and women empowerment. The award is given in recognition of the reports Minister Retno in particular to advance the agenda for sustainable development 2030 and also in addressing global issues through humanity and peaceful diplomacy. After receiving the award, Minister Retno said that the award from the United Nations will make her more enthusiastic and work harder for peace and prosperity by conducting diplomacy for women. She feels that women have a powerful force to be part of the world to overcome the various problems faced by countries in various parts of the world. What is certain is the recognition of reports made by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in advancing the 2030 agenda and sustainable development and efforts to address global issues through peace and humanitarian effort. More recently, Minister Retno has made a series of diplomatic steps with Myanmar related to the efforts of ethnic Rohingya who are expelled from their country and live in the East. Due to Minister Retno's great effort, Myanmar, as stated by Aung San Suu Kyi, has begun to open in a bid to resolve the ethnic turmoil in her country. Previously, Minister Retno had met directly with the Nobel Peace Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi to convey Indonesian concern over the situation in Myanmar. The award by UNs, which is the first one to be given to Indonesian women, will surely be an inspiration to Indonesian nation efforts to resolve global issues related to women, as well as to increase domestic efforts to resolve the problems of women who are still in great number. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on September 22, 1980, Iraq launched invasion to Iran. The Iraq-Iran War, also known as the Holy Defense, was a war between Iraq and Iran that began in September 1980 and ended in August 1988. In general, the war was recognized as Persian Gulf War, so that the Iraq-Kuwait conflict erupted in the early 1990s and was for some time recognized as the first Persian Gulf War. The war began when Iraqi forces broke through the Iranian border on September 22, 1980, due to the protracted border problems between the two countries and Saddam Hussein's concerns over the Shia resistance brought by the Imam Khomeini in the Iranian Revolution. Although Iraq did not issue a declaration of war, its troops failed in their mission in Iraq, but eventually their attacks could be repulsed by Iran. Although the United Nations called for a ceasefire, the fighting continued until August 20, 1988. The last prisoner exchange between the two countries occurred in 2003. This war has changed territory and the global political situation. Next, an event which occurred on September 22, 1960, Mali gained independence. Mali is a country located in Northwest Africa. The country has a high civilization, but from the 8th to the 16th century, Mali was controlled by Sudan. Then, Morocco also controlled this country. The majority of the population live in the southern region, near the Niger River and Senegal. The country was formerly called Sudanese France, taking its name from the Mali Empire. Previously, Mali was also colonized by France. Finally, on September 22, 1960, Mali gained its independence. We end the regular Today in History with an event which occurred on September 22, 1949. The Soviet Union exploded the first atomic bomb. The Soviet Socialist Republic Union, also called the Soviet Union, was a communist country in Eastern Europe and North Asia that existed from 1917 to 1991. The country was founded after the October Revolution on November 7, 1917, according to the Gregorian calendar. The Soviet Union was a federal state. On September 22, 1949, the Soviet Union detonated its first atomic bomb as an experiment. It was a superpower country besides the United States. But after being dissolved, Russia, the main successor state of the Soviet Union, is no longer strong. Other 14 states were independent. Even the three countries, namely Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, become members of the European Union and NATO. After the Soviet Union was dissolved, then established Commonwealth of Independent States, or PNM, known as the CIS, or Commonwealth of Independent States, in which all former Soviet Union countries joined in, except the three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, joined in as members of the European Union and NATO. At the time, the Soviet Union had three representatives in the United Nations, namely the Soviet Union, Ukraine, and Belarus. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our daily program Focus. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia and OIC urge resolution of Rakhine crisis in United Nations. Well, listener, Indonesia had a meeting with member countries of Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, amidst United Nations General Assembly at the UN headquarters in New York, USA, on last Tuesday to urge the resolution of humanitarian crisis that happens in Rakhine State, Myanmar. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala and Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi represented Indonesia in the OIC contact group meeting that discussed the crisis in Rakhine. Mr. Retno in New York, USA, on Tuesday said the meeting saw the concern and empathy of Indonesia towards the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine that also affects Bangladesh. Mr. Retno views that the crisis must end soon. The meeting was attended by leaders of OIC member countries from Turkey, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Iran, and Indonesia, including foreign ministers and ambassadors from other member countries. Representative of UN High Commissioner for Refugees, UN, England, and America were also present in the meeting. Indonesia and OIC member countries agreed to establish joint communities so that Myanmar will soon stop the violence against Rohingya community. Mr. Retno Marsudi also stated Indonesia had high concerns towards the Rohingya in Rakhine State, Myanmar. She explained as a partner and neighbor country, Indonesia cannot close his eyes from the situation in Rakhine State. On the same occasion, Minister Retno said Indonesia has carried out diplomatic efforts by visiting Bangladesh and Myanmar. Meanwhile, Indonesian Deputy Minister for Foreign Affairs Fajir asserted that the aid from Indonesian government for Rohingya people in the Myanmar border and Bangladesh was not image branding but mandate of the Constitution of Indonesia. Fajir said that the state palace complex in Jakarta on Tuesday that when speaking creates world order based on independence, everlasting peace and social justice. Those were realization of the constitutional mandate. Therefore, the steps taken by Indonesian government in sending aid for Rohingya people in Rakhine State, Myanmar, began an effort to maintain the world peace and order. The deputy minister added that the visit of Foreign First Minister Retno Marsudi to Myanmar recently was a duty and directive from President Joko Widodo, which was based on the concern of Indonesian government that prioritizes diplomatic approach in finding solution for Rohingya crisis. Listener, that was Focus Day, presented by Rahmana.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. Minister of Trade Enggarti Astolukita received bilateral visits of Minister of Trade, Tourism and Investments of Australia Stephen Siobo at the Trade Ministry office on Wednesday, 20 September. Public relations and communications are keys to obtain public understandings and participation in order to strengthen the regional organization's positions at the global level. Director General of Customs and Excise at the Finance Ministry, Heru Pambudi, said that the secret excise increase for 2018 will be announced in the next 2 or 3 weeks. State-owned railway company PT KAI will be operating 50 extra trains this weekend that coincides with the Islamic New Year holiday, 1st Muharram 1439 Hijri. East Ventures, a Southeast Asian venture capital company, announced an investment worth $30 million for Indonesian startup. The Korean Tourism Organization Jakarta hosts the Korean Festival Travel, Food and Hanbok at Lotte Shopping Avenue in Jakarta from September 21st to 24th. Indonesia remains the top Group G of the 2018 AFC Under 16 Championship qualifier after beating Thailand 1-0 before the War Elephants home crowd at Raja Mangala Stadium in Bangkok, Thailand on Wednesday. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Manatika attractions, so stay tuned. September 22nd, Cafe Menanu City in North Central Timor Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province, celebrates its 95th anniversary. In order to enliven the anniversary of the Cafe Menanu City, the capital of North Central Timor Regency, the local government hold a variety of activities including Apmeto or traditional speech, Manatika or traditional boxing, and cultural carnival. The cultural performances are displayed in the expo and exhibition of development, which is held in the Oimanu Field on 12 to 22nd September 2017. Listener, a few days ago, the people of
Cafe Menano City are entertained with Manatika attractions in order to celebrate the 95th anniversary of Cafe Menano City. Manatika is a traditional sport of Atonimeto people in North Central Timor. The traditional sport relies on agility and the strength of legs. At a glance, the sport resembles Taekwondo, but the difference is Manatika use the foot only. The target area is the lower part of thigh. Each participant tries to kick the opponent using the foot. The game is back to back. The kick of the opponent is done toward the back, not face to face. Manatika Arena is like a rectangular ring and tight rope to connect the four poles. In the game, there is one referee who arranging the game and two judges who give the score. The referee called Apawat Madpanat, which means keeping and protecting. The referee has responsibility to keep the two Manatika fighters stay inside of the arena or the boxing ring and breaking when the two fighters are out of control. In addition, the referee also gives a strong warning to the fighters if they violate the regulation, such as kicking forbidden area of the body. The referee also has responsibility to stop the fighting if one fighter wounded or falls and cannot continue the fighting. The game is won by a successful fighter to attack the opponent's leg, making the opponent claim to lose or gain more points than his opponent. The match is held for 3 rounds with a duration of 3 minutes per round. Break time in every round is given for 1 minute. Manatika is a popular game to strengthen the unity between people in North Central Timor. The traditional attractions are usually done after the funeral of a certain figure and also after the harvest time. But nowadays, the Manatika tradition also begins to be performed during the celebration of Indonesian Independence Day and other national days. The show of Manatika continues to be held with the aim of preserving Indonesian culture. Well, listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Manatika attraction from North Central Timor. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate 2 times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feast, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. In addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abdau is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abdau fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province, still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also when Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of sambars, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 9525 kHz, live streaming of English.RRIWorldService.com or our mobile application, RRI Play, through and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida. listener, Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S, and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired, but it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer, and she sang a lot of Nano S songs, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetty Koes Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
listener, just like the title, the song composed by Nano S described everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meida through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetikus Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetikus Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese-speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetikus Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetikus Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
Tiba helah aku kalah
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Surilang jot-jotang burung dara burung merpati, burung dara burung merpati, terbang melayang tinggi di awan. Sayang di sayang anak dara yang hati-hati zaman sekarang. Sayang sayang,
setan jalanan dan kayangan,
suri langjot jotan.
Pergi ke pasar membeli manggis, pergi ke pasar membeli manggis. Buah manggis enak rasanya. Sayang di sayang, carilah pacar yang hitam manis. Aduh sayang,
sayang, aduh sayang, sayang, aduh sayang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.